And do-gooders, welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 95, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your trying troop of troubadours tracking down trivia treasure troves.
Ah. I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And this episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, online destination of awesome video tutorials and courses where you get to set the pace with online learning. We're all about learning and trying new stuff here at Good Job Brain. So with Lynda.com, you can learn what you want, when you want, learn how to make spiffy videos, or be better at time management, or become better at Photoshop so you can build up your library of animated cat GIFs. GIFs.
I don't want it to be GIF.
I don't want it to be GIF, yeah.
I like saying GIF.
You too.
It's better.
Okay. Well, let's all just say GIF then.
Okay. Yeah. Right. We know people say GIF. We know.
The inventor himself wanted GIF.
We're going to evolve language.
Yeah.
With a Lynda.com subscription, you will receive unlimited access to thousands of online video courses that you can watch from your computer, tablet, or mobile device. So resolve to learn something new this year. Visit lynda.com/goodjobbrain to get a 7-day free trial. And that's lynda.com/goodjobbrain. And today is episode 95. It's our all quiz bonanza. We do an all quiz show every fifth episode where we don't really have a topic. We each prepare different quizzes and fun puzzles to try to stump each other and stump you guys, listeners. So without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. This is a weird card. I'm going to say that. It's my disclaimer. It's a weird card.
We're not trying to stump everybody. I mean, you know.
It's fun to say.
I want you to get some of them right.
Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. What German car company name means people's car? Everybody!
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen. All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. What? Where did A Tribe Called Quest leave their wallet?
They left their wallet in El Segundo.
Yes!
Yes. From a very famous Tribe Called Quest song.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Left my wallet in El Segundo.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, that's okay.
Sure.
I gotta get it.
You could be making that up, and I would have no idea.
Yeah. I was like, aren't there multiple members? Do they all have collectively
They share
one
a wallet?
Yeah.
That's why it's so important they get it back, wasn't it?
Three IDs in there.
Whoever wrote that question thought they were being clever.
Yeah. Oh, you think that?
Wait until we get
to the purple wedge.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Yellow wedge. Who comes after the U.S. vice president in the line of presidential succession? Chris.
I believe this is the Speaker of the House.
I believe that's right.
Correct.
Okay. And then it's like the Secretary of State or something like that.
Doesn't say on the cards.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's not talk about it.
All right. Purple wedge. What species of whale is Moby Dick? Colin?
The white whale, right? Great white whale? Or are they looking for the scientific?
Is it a sperm whale?
It's a sperm whale.
Okay. Yeah. Sperm whale.
I watched Blackfish today, which is not about sperm whales, but...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the intense documentary about killer whales,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I
don't know. It feels like it's going to make me sad.
It will.
Okay.
It makes you look at them really differently.
Okay. Right. All right. Green wedge for science. What was the first text message ever sent to a cell phone in December 1992?
What you wearing? You up.
Real guesses? Nobody wants to give me a real...
The first text message ever sent to a cell phone in 1992.
I'll guess Hello World.
Test.
It is Merry Christmas, sent by a British engineer to a colleague. So that colleague
It was sent in June, though. So.
Yeah. We'll head away for the colleague to get a cell phone.
Right. The first text message was received in 1993. Yeah.
Oh, that dry British humor.
All right. Orange wedge, last question. How much did the U.S. birth rate of twins climb from 1980 to 2004? Multiple choice.
Okay.
Good.
40%, 70%, or 85%?
Whoa.
Guess.
40%.
Yeah.
80%.
What?
70%.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's because of fertility drugs.
Oh. Oh.
That's a big part of it, but I would not have guessed 70%.
Yeah, because now they can.
It says here, older age at childbirth and fertility enhancement have increased multiple births. That makes a lot
more sense. Older age at childbirth.
All right. All quiz.
Yes.
19. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
19.
All quiz 19.
Good math. Good
math. Because I know next one is 20.
No, but yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, hooray.
All right, I had a good time putting together this quiz for you guys.
Oh,
this quiz is called Brad Pitt or Lasers?
Interesting.
Okay.
What, that's not obvious to you what the quiz is about?
Yeah.
This quiz is going to be sets of pairs of wildly unrelated things.
Okay.
And you need to tell me which is older. So in every pair that I will be giving you, they are separated by at most 6 years.
Okay.
Sometimes a matter of months. So these are all very close to each other.
All right.
So you each have a pad of paper. You guys will all be providing an answer here. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with the namesake question of this quiz. Which is older, Brad Pitt or lasers? Answers up. Karen and Chris say Brad Pitt. Dana says lasers. It is actually lasers.
Oh, I thought it was a trick question.
Yeah. They're very close. Brad Pitt was born in 1963. The first functioning laser was operated in 1960.
Hmm. Wow. I knew Brad Pitt turned 50.
He did.
Recently.
Yeah. He just did.
Okay.
Which is older, Oreo cookies or the Model T Ford?
Oh.
Oreo cookies. Originally induced as Oreo biscuits or the Model T Ford.
I feel like we've talked about Oreos before.
I bet Hydrox came out first.
Hydrox. Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of Hydrox.
I think they did, yeah, but...
But they were close.
Oh, exactly. You're keeping score?
Well, yeah, just for the archives. For the archives.
Right.
Answers up. Dana and Chris say Oreos. Karen says Model T Ford. It is the Model T Ford.
Yeah. Okay.
No trick questions so far.
There are no trick questions. Yes, there will be no trick questions. Okay. The Model T was introduced in 1908. Oreos were introduced in 1912.
Hmm.
4 years.
It was the 100-year anniversary
recently. That's right.
And I was like, when was the Model T?
Yeah. They had all those cute ads and stuff.
Okay.
Which is older, the saxophone or Salt Lake City, Utah?
Did you just like pick two things and you're like
I had a lot of fun putting this one together.
Nice. How do you
Answers up. Dana and Chris say saxophone. Karen says Salt Lake City. It is, in fact, the saxophone.
Right.
I'm on the board.
The saxophone invented in 1841 by Adolf Sax.
What?
Yes. A Belgian music.
Mr. Sax.
Yes, Mr. Sax.
Okay.
Right.
And Salt Lake City, or Great Salt Lake City, as it was originally known, founded in 1847 by Brigham Young et al.
Hmm.
Which is older, Justin Bieber or the Sony PlayStation?
Wait. PlayStation 1.
The original Sony PlayStation before it had a number appended. And Chris, in case you're curious, this would be when it was released in Japan.
Yeah.
Because I know you have very fine-grained knowledge of such things.
Yeah, I'm pretty...
This is close. It's very close.
I know the year Justin Bieber.
It is very close.
It is very close, but I think I got this.
Okay.
All right. Answers up. Everyone says Sony PlayStation. Everyone is wrong.
Oh, what?
Justin Bieber was born March 1st, 1994.
Oh,
the Sony PlayStation was introduced December 3rd, 1994.
Yes. Woo. By a hair.
Yeah. Yes. Great, great year for entertainment, 1994.
Well, that was also the year Kurt Cobain died.
Oh,
yeah.
Way to bring us down.
Was he revived as the PlayStation or Justin Bieber?
Which is older, The Mousetrap or The Game of Basketball?
Oh. By The Mousetrap, you mean the classic spring-loaded one?
Yep.
Cheese included or not included?
Cheese not included, just the trap.
All right.
All right. Answers up. Karen and Chris say Mousetrap. Dana says Basketball. It is, in fact, Basketball.
Whoa.
Yes, Basketball, invented in 1891 by Dr. James Naismith. The Mousetrap, invented and patented in 1894 by William C. Hooker.
By William Mousetrap.
By William J. It is pronounced Mousetrap.
Mousetrap.
Yeah. Which is older, Betty White or penicillin?
Oh. That's good. Shoot.
Answers up. Karen says penicillin. Chris and Dana both say Betty White. Betty White is in fact older than penicillin.
Yeah.
Betty White was born in 1922. Yeah. Penicillin was discovered and isolated in 1928.
Yeah.
Wow. She's a lot older than penicillin.
Yeah. She was, yeah, good. She was a little girl.
Holy cow.
And of course, they did have some idea that mold was involved, but yes, Sir Alexander Fleming coined the name and concentrated it in 1928. All right. Last one here, guys. We'll close this out. Which is older? The first episode of The Simpsons, or the earliest known web page?
Interesting.
Known web page.
The oldest known web page. Answers up. Karen says Simpsons. Chris and Dana say first web page. Karen is correct.
Yeah!
Whoa!
The Simpsons Christmas episode aired in 1989.
Yes.
And the generally accepted date for the oldest known web page is 1991.
Huh.
It is.
What was it?
It is possible there were web pages as early as 1990, but The Simpsons would still be earlier.
Be earlier.
Yes.
What was the first web page?
It's a long and not very interesting story.
Oh, okay.
Tim Berners-Lee has a copy of it on a disc. It's just, it's a super, super nerdy story.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well done, guys. Let's tally up our scores here. All right. And our winner coming out on top is Dana with a whopping 4 points.
The winner of...
The winner of...
Brad Pitt
or lasers.
I'll take both, please.
Well done, guys.
So I went to Sweden a few weeks ago. I heard stories about their candy from my mom randomly when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. And she told me about the flavors they had and we'd laugh, which was such a weird, jerky thing to do.
It sounds like a one-sided conversation. Yeah. You
know, so I brought back a taste of Sweden for you guys, but I'm not going to tell you what the flavors are.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But I'm going to give it to you. So some of these are traditional. Some of them are new. I found out.
Okay.
Will be kind of a blind taste test, except you can see the candy. It's okay for you to look at it.
Okay.
You just taste it. You tell me what you think it is, and then I'll tell you.
All right.
I'll
so
confirm.
We can look and we can taste, but
yeah,
we can't know. We must simply
I won't
guess.
Tell you.
Right.
Until you.
Are you going to tell us the name of the candy beforehand?
I could tell you the Swedish name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Been trying to practice my Swedish pronunciation of these.
I bet it's better than ours.
Well, it still might not be right, so sorry for the Swedish listeners for laughing at your candy and also for mispronouncing.
We're not laughing at your candy. We're laughing with your candy.
We're laughing because it's not... Okay, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah.
The first one is called Salta Meissnex.
Yeah.
Salty Meissnex.
Salty Meissnex. Delicious salty Meissnex.
Well, they look like those Ritter bars.
It looked like chocolate.
Yeah.
This does not look. This looks like we're getting off to an easy start here.
Yeah, I'm right. Starting you guys.
Yeah,
gently. I'm gently easing you into the experience.
So there's nuts in here.
Okay, so it's chocolate, and there are things that
crunchy
look like
things.
Yeah, crunchy things inside. They're size of nuts, but they're not nuts.
It tastes
corny.
It does. It almost has like a corn nut.
It's a familiar flavor for sure. So it's basically it's a bar of chocolate with
are they peas or is it corn?
I can't identify what it is.
I vote corn.
I vote corn.
It's corn nuts.
Mm.
They're salted corn.
That's good.
Chocolate bar.
I like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretzels and chocolate.
This one is called Turkish pepper. I'm not pronouncing it correctly. It's actually made in Finland, but it's super common in Sweden and in Denmark.
I don't trust black colored candy, hard candy.
And if you bite into it, I'm told.
Whoa. Wow. Oh, my.
I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Do it. Just bite into it. Oh.
All right, so licorice on the outside for sure.
That's
like a burst of salt.
Yeah.
It's like salt.
Is it also hot?
Oh, maybe some pepper.
It's so salty.
It's like salt and pepper wrapped in licorice.
Usually when there's like salt in your mouth, it goes away after a while.
Yeah.
But it just keeps building and building.
It's a tsunami of salt.
It's a salt grenade.
It is. I think I have now fired all of these salt receptors off my tongue. That's bracing.
Oh, God, my toes are curling.
Wow.
I did not enjoy that.
So my friend was like, oh, no, they're really interesting when you bite into them.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, I couldn't make it to the bite into it part of that candy. I was like, wait, oh, no, I'm taking
it. So you have not had the experience?
It was in my mouth for a while. And I was like, nope.
You foisted this on us.
I have a palate cleanser for you guys, though.
Yeah, that was a palate cleanser in the sense
everything's
Batman
wiped out.
And Little Boy were household cleaners.
It's like, you know, when you burn your tongue and your taste buds are kind of numb.
Yeah.
It feels like that.
My whole mouth is just like devoid of sensation.
Okay, this is Bilar.
Bilar?
Bugar?
Bilar.
Okay.
What are they shaped like? They're shaped like little animals?
Sharks.
Are they Swedish
fish?
Or
like cars? They're either cars or sharks.
Oh, are they Swedish fish?
They're in pastel colors. No, they probably taste like burning. Bilar is Swedish for...
I think it's a little race car.
They're a little race car.
Yeah. Bilar is Swedish for car.
I have one of each color.
So it kind of looks like someone took normal marshmallows and squish them into little cars.
It does.
Like someone made these.
Yeah. Wow, that's remarkably resilient.
You squish down on it, it returns to its original shape.
Yeah.
They call these Sweden's most purchased car, because Bilar means car in Swedish.
This is Sweden's most tasteless candy.
It's because we don't have taste buds.
Yeah. They're actually quite savory if you haven't just eaten this salt grenade. It feels like it's in the same family as like circus peanuts. It's like like a marshmallow.
You know those rings, gummy rings? Sometimes they have a white underside, like they're two sided.
Yeah.
It tastes like the white part.
It does.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes, it totally does. Yep.
Yep.
All right. So this is the last candy. It's been described as like, oh, you have to try this. This is the classic Swedish candy. Everybody's had it. It's really old type of candy.
Old.
It's called Ljungarvrål, which means jungle roar.
You know what I'm scared by is the fact that it's so small.
I'm scared that it's the color black because it always means licorice.
This looks like a poisonous fish. You know what I mean? Like on the Nature Channel, they're like, its markings indicate its deadliness.
Yeah, it's black with white stripes.
Yeah.
Oh, they're little squirrels.
Maybe monkeys. The package has monkey.
Like, oh, you know what? Like, yeah, it's like a monkey profile and it's covered in sugar.
Oh my... Wow, that packs a punch.
I don't want to do it.
It's so...
You can take it out. Just put it in for him.
Salty. Do they need to get their sodium from their candy?
It tastes like Play-Doh.
Yes. Oh, man.
With once you get past the coating...
How is this candy?
Once you get past the coating of table salt on this thing...
Yeah, I thought it was sugar.
It is at least just a piece of sticky licorice.
Now it's fine.
This thing has now taken the shape of one of my molars and will be there forever.
After the initial salt wears off...
Yeah.
It's actually... kind of tasty?
No.
That's my least favorite out of all of them, for sure.
God.
I don't know. That
is, oh God, yeah, that whatever, what is that one called?
The Turkish pepper?
The Turkish pepper?
Yeah, pepper.
Pepper? Turkish pepper is what batteries taste like.
It's sold everywhere. It's actually, I think, a Finnish, or from Finland. Well, there you go.
Can I have some more corn nuts chocolate?
Yeah, you started out with the most delicious thing.
Oh, things started out
this
so
This is
going to
be a great segment. These are awesome.
Wow. It's trick candy.
No, they eat it sincerely. They don't even, their eyes don't even tear up when they're eating it. Like, they both have some kind of immunity.
Unlike you babies.
Yeah.
I mean, we're wusses. We're total wusses.
We're used to a different flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
We're just used to crap load of sugar.
Sugar.
Right. Anyway, there you guys go.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you, Sweden.
Thank you, Sweden. Sorry, your kitty made us cry. I guess I'll go next. During the holiday break, I don't know if you guys came across a special quiz / article on New York Times. It's a quiz that you can take. It asks you 25 questions, and it will pinpoint you just by answering questions where you're from or dialect or language your American English speech is from, what region within the United States.
Right.
One popular example is soda,
right?
Different parts of America, you call soda different things. Mm. Soda, pop, fizzy. Some Coke. People call Coke, even though you're drinking Sprite, it's still called Coke.
Right.
So, and all of those terms and vocabulary is tied to the regional dialect of American English. There's a great study done at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, that had a list of a lot of these kind of vocabulary tests and whatnot. So I'm going to ask you guys, have pads of paper. I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions, vocab quiz. First question, and this is a callback.
Oh, so there's no wrong answers.
There's no wrong answer.
Oh, thank goodness.
Just tell me what you think, you call it.
Okay. So, pressure's off, you know?
Yeah.
First question. What do you call the drink made with milk and ice cream?
Mm.
And as you guys are writing this down, I just want to say on the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee linguistics dialect website, they actually show a map, like a map of dots. You know, say this word and how many people in this other color of dots say this word.
Right.
All right, everybody answers up. You got to pick one, Chris.
Primarily the first one that I wrote down.
So Chris says milkshake. Yeah. Dana says milkshake. Colin says milkshake. Of course, milkshake / shake, 96%.
Where I grew up, that frap was a synonym for milkshake. Yep. Absolutely.
2%. And within the map, you see it's like a very small area.
Right.
Centered on Chris's home.
Even a smaller area of people... Cabinet.
Yeah.
Cabinet.
That you are from Rhode Island. Right? Yeah. That you can pinpoint you.
It's like there are a bunch of dots for milkshake all over the place and then like two dots for cabinet. All right. Next question. What do you call it when rain falls while the sun is shining?
Oh.
If you don't have a word for any of these questions, you can just say no word.
There's a phrase.
Phrase is fine.
Okay.
What do you call it when rain falls while the sun is shining? Answers up. Oh, I thought you said milkshake again. Colin says, sad face. Dana says, devil's beating his wife. And Chris says, sun shower.
Yeah.
So here's some acceptable answers. Sun shower is primarily an East Coast term.
There we go.
The devil beating his wife is a term used in the South. Another one, the wolf is giving birth is in the Midwest. Primarily Wisconsin, Indiana. And there are other terms too. Monkey's wedding, fox's wedding, pineapple rain, liquid sun. Like you, Colin, I had no term for this.
No.
Like, I was like, I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Huh. I've heard the expression devil beating his wife. I must have missed... I always thought that was like a thunderstorm or something like that. Huh. But it has a very specific meaning, clearly.
Wow, yeah. Huh. And our word for it is so literal.
Yeah. Sun shower. You
know, yeah, right, yeah.
I like liquid sun.
Yeah,
liquid sun is good.
Where is
Can
that?
I start calling it liquid sun?
It's just a small population. A lot of these are like small places.
Right.
My dad's from the South and he told me.
Oh, really?
I was like, that's not very nice. He's like, yeah, that's not very nice.
Right, right, right. But you started saying it.
I was like, well, that's what it's called.
That's what my dad says. I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. What do you call the small gray bug that curls up into a ball when it's touched? All right. Answers up. Colin says pill bug. Dana says potato bug. What'd you say? Question mark,
question mark, question mark, parentheses, this is out of ignorance.
Like you don't, you've never seen something.
We might have a regional word for it, but I don't know what that is.
But what do you call it?
I stayed inside and played video games as a child. I didn't go poking bugs.
But you know what, an animal like this exists.
Yes. Yeah.
It rolls into a little ball.
Sure. Okay.
A doodle bug. I call it a roly poly.
I've also heard roly poly. I had friends who, as kids, would call it roly poly.
There's also basketball bug, twiddle bug, and roll up bug.
I've heard doodle bug.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a name for this thing.
Huh. Me neither. Hmm. I thought it was just a general term. Yeah. You're doodle bug.
Yeah.
What do you call the miniature lobster that one finds in lakes and streams? All right, answers. You have to just pick one answer, Chris.
Well, my top answer is always the answer. Interchangeable.
Chris and Dana both say crayfish.
Yeah.
And Colin says crawfish.
Right.
I say crawfish as
crawfish.
Well.
Crawfish.
Some of the answers are crayfish, crawfish, craw, crowfish, and crawdad. Crawdad is more of a Midwest term.
Okay.
Okay, what do you call the long sandwich that contains cold cuts, lettuce, and squash?
Oh, man. Oh, okay, all right, okay.
First answer comes to mind.
Yes, okay, yes. This one I have a definite, yeah.
Answers up. Both Dana and Colin say submarine. And Chris says hoagie.
I do, yes.
Which is very regional.
Highly.
Primarily in Pennsylvania, but also in other East Coast states.
Yep.
Other answers are grinder.
Grinder.
Yeah, I've heard grinder.
We've never had grinder.
I've heard that. Hero.
Grinder
hero.
Roll. Hero. Mm-hmm. Grinder.
Yep. Poor boy.
Poor boy.
Yeah. From the South.
Yep.
All right. What do you call the insect that flies around in the summer and has a rear section that glows in the dark?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I didn't know the other name for it.
Actually, I'm changing my answer.
What?
Well, I'm thinking about what did we say when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Just say what you call it now.
They don't have them in the Bay Area.
I think that's the funny thing. I was reading more about this. A lot of these, you know, like the sun shower question and this question. There's some places that just you don't see it. That's why they don't really
have
a term
for it.
Yeah. And that's one of the ways they pinpoint where you are, too. You know?
Yeah, like no answer means.
Yeah, yeah. You might have not seen it. Okay. Answers up. Chris says lightning bug. Dana says lightning bug, and Colin says firefly.
Yeah.
Lightning bug is predominantly an East Coast term, firefly is more common in towards the West.
Mm. Right. Now, I had firefly, because I think I've switched over to firefly since my childhood.
I didn't even know a lightning bug was a term
for it.
All right, next one.
All right, okay.
What is, off the top of your head, what is your general term for rubber-soled shoes worn in gym class for athletic activities, etc.? Answers up. Wow, okay. Chris and Dana both say sneakers. Colin says tennis shoes. I'm on your camp. I call them tennis shoes. Even though it's not... You're not playing tennis. Yeah. You just call it tennis shoes. Just grew up with that.
Yeah.
Some people just call them shoes. Mm. Gym shoes. Sand shoes. That's like a 0.03%. Jumpers. Tennis shoes, which is more of a West Coast term. Mm-hmm. Running shoes, runners, trainers.
I never really felt like I had a good term for those.
That's how I thought tennis shoes. That's how I thought of tennis shoes. Like, oh, you're playing tennis?
All right. Here's a good one. What do you call the gooey or dry matter that collects in the corner of your eyes, especially while you're sleeping? What do you call it?
Delicious.
And while they're writing, listeners, I encourage you to just search for New York Times dialect quiz, and you can take this test and see where you get placed. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Chris and Dana on the same wavelength.
Yep.
Eye boogers. I call them eye boogers too.
No, okay.
But I mostly call them crud.
Yeah.
Or crud. Oh, okay.
Crud or gunk. Yeah.
Crud or gunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Colin, you said sleep.
Sleep. Like wipe the sleep out of your eyes. Yes.
Right.
Here's some terms. Sleep definitely made the list. Eye booger. Majority of people call it eye booger.
There we go.
Yeah. Like it's like boogers, but from your eyes. Other names include crackling. Sleeper, sleepy, sleepies, sleepy seed, sleepy bugs, eye crunchy, eye crusties, and sand. Very sand is more poetic. All right, last question. And so the thing is with this test, I was really interested in where they placed me because I, you know, my American English is from the Bay Area, but also from whatever English training I had back in Asia. And a lot of these questions, they asked me things that I've never seen or experienced before. So I didn't have a lot of terms for this. So this is the last question. I'm going to end it here. I've never seen anything that is described in this question.
Okay.
What do you call a drive-through liquor store?
Oh, yeah. We don't have those in California.
We don't have those in Connecticut, I don't think. They could,
I can make up a name right now.
Well, okay. How about this? What do you call a liquor store? Like, that is a...
Oh, a liquor store.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I don't have answers for that.
Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. Maybe you... Maybe this is specifically drive-through liquor store.
I have no idea. Wow. Huh. I mean,
I've seen pictures
of these things. Yeah.
All right. So it looks like we all don't have no answer. It also sounds like a horrible idea.
Heaven.
Is it like a booze and cruise?
What is it?
So
dive and drive.
That's not bad. Yeah. Gulp and blow.
Yeah.
48% of Americans said, "I've never heard of such a thing."
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right.
So there's
this must be a way of further narrow you down into
The two big ones, East Coast brew through.
A brew through.
Wow.
Okay.
And in the South, a beer barn or beverage barn or party barn.
So I will tell you that where I am from, when I was growing up, they called liquor stores package stores.
Huh.
Package stores.
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah. And if you were like a college kid, like Packy. One of the Packy.
There you go. Yeah.
I love those kind of things.
Really interesting. Take the quiz and see where you place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a quick ad break. A word from our sponsor.
What do you want to learn today? Photography? Coding? Leadership? With the easy-to-follow video tutorials on lynda.com, you can learn at your own pace, on your own terms. Our top industry instructors don't just tell you how to get it done, they show you.
I'll set a shadow point here, and then I'll drag it up. Notice that elevates the shadows.
Head out to the desert with a seasoned photographer. Record a song with a world-class producer. Build your own app with a top-tier coder. With over 2,000 courses and more added weekly, there's no end to what you can learn at lynda.com. So, what do you want to learn first?
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Job Brain, and this week is our all-quiz episode.
I have assembled a quiz for you guys called Who, What, or Where? I will be naming for you very specific types of inventions or foods or substances, and they are named after a person, a place, or a thing.
Okay.
So, for example, we'll start with an easy one.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. If I were to say, who, what, or where is Kobe beef named after? You would, of course, say...
Named after a place.
Kobe Bryant. Yes.
Yes. Bad trivia. Don't give out bad trivia.
Sorry, yes. Yes, in fact, let's approach this as a two-tiered
answer.
Actually,
Kobe Bryant was named after...
Yeah.
Crazy. Person, place, or thing, and so then it is a place. You know...
So, Chris, please. Chris, who, what, or where is Kobe beef named
Kobe
after?
Beef is named after Kobe, Japan.
Correct.
Hometown of Kobe Bryant.
Right. So even if you don't have a guess as the exact answer, you got to try and give me a who, what, or where.
Got it. Okay.
And then for the full answer, give me the bonus point. Yeah. There we go. All right. Who, what, or where? And I should say.
And before I begin.
When I was a young boy, I should say I noticed, you know, a lot of these will be luxury items or gourmet foods.
Okay.
Because it's often a way of distinguishing, there's regular beef and there's Kobe beef.
Oh, sure.
You know,
okay.
So
okay.
You'll notice perhaps some themes here.
Okay.
Who, what, or where is Dijon mustard named after? Karen.
Oh, whoops.
It is a place.
Yes.
Dijon, France.
It is the city of Dijon, France, where this style of mustard was invented in 1856. Mm-hmm. And now, do you know what makes Dijon mustard different from other types of mustard?
Is it champagne?
These days,
or
most.
Monks?
They use real monk in the mustard.
Uh-huh.
These days, most Dijon is made with white wine instead of vinegar. But originally, they used what's called verjuice, which is like just a really acidic. Juice from unripe fruit, basically.
Got some right here.
Well, there you go. Chris has a bottle of verjuice.
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 So, Do you just drink it?
It is verjus, pronounced verjus, is the tart, unfermented juice of unripe wine grapes with high acidity and a tart apple-like flavor. It literally means green juice.
Yes.
Huh. Why would you want it?
As an alternative to vinegar and lemon juice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you for answering my
question.
There
you go. So if you made some mustard with that instead of vinegar, you'd have Dijon. Who, what, or where is the diesel engine named after? Chris.
It is named after a who.
It is.
Yes. Bob Diesel.
The diesel engine is named after Rudolph Diesel.
Of course. It's always Rudolph or Adolf.
Rudolph Diesel.
Adolf Sachs. Adolf Dassler. Rudolph Dassler. Rudolph
Place
Diesel.
Place is lousy with Adolfs and Rudolphs.
Yeah, right? Huh.
Who, what, or where is Angus Beef named after? Angus Beef. You see it everywhere these days.
Yep. Oh, it's Angus Beef?
Angus Beef.
Angus.
A-N-G-U-S.
What?
Angus Beef.
Well, we haven't gotten a what.
Yeah, that's my guess.
I don't know. But I don't know what an Angus is.
Yeah.
Chris has buzzed in.
I was going to say that it is named after a place.
It is named after a place.
Oh, snaps.
Would you care to guess? You can maybe from
Texas.
The sound. You might think Texas because, cattle.
Is
and
it Scotland?
It is Scotland.
Okay.
Yes.
Whoa.
Angus County.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. The
Angus beef steer cattle are a type of cow.
But the marketing is so Texan.
It really is very Texan, at least here in the States.
Yes.
Angus beef, you can find them all over the world, and they're named after Angus County. That type of cow was originally bred there. They come in two varieties, typically. There are red Angus and there are black Angus.
Mm-hmm.
Black. Yes, and here we have the Stuart Anderson's Black Angus restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They serve that type of beef. It is, in fact, the most common type of beef cow in the States.
Mm-hmm. I'm mentally when the G blacks out on that
side. I'm mentally dropping all the Gs from this conversation. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Sorry.
So we just came out of Dungeness crab season, or I think we're still in it, actually. So tell me, who, what, or where is Dungeness crab named after?
A female dungeon.
Chris.
I'm going to say a place.
It is a place.
Is it like Dungeness Bay or something like that?
Very
where they
close.
Found the crab?
Yeah. It's Dungeness, Washington. Community.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
Dungeness was the first commercial fishery on the West Coast, established in 1848, serving up primarily Dungeness crabs.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the idea behind food, right? It's that, it comes from this place. Yeah.
Who, what, or where are Bing cherries named after? Karen, immediately.
It is a who.
It is a who.
It is named after, I believe, a Chinese person who I think was a cherry farmer or somehow ended up with the Bing variety, and they named it after Bing.
You have it essentially right. Yeah, they are named after a man named Ah Bing, A-H-B-I-N-G. He was indeed born in China, moved to the U.S. in the 1850s and worked at the Llewellyn Family Orchards in Oregon. He worked there for years and years and years. It's a little unclear whether he developed the cultivar or whether it was named after him in honor of him, but he was well-loved, well-known there in the orchard. Sadly, I was reading a little bit about him. So as I say, he was in the States for years and years and years in the late 1800s. He went home for a visit in China in 1889 and ended up being unable to return because of the restrictions in the Chinese Exclusion Act. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer story, but his legacy lives on in the name of the Bing cherry. All right, we'll close out with one last food-related one here. Who, what, or where is the Caesar salad named after?
It is named after a person.
It is.
But it is not named after Julius Caesar. It is named after the chef who created it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not Julius, not Augustus,
none of the
Roman Caesars.
Yep. Adolf Caesar.
Adolf Caesar. It was actually his first name. It was named after Caesar Cardini.
Yes. And there's Cardini's Caesar dressing, I think, you can buy in bottles.
He has several restaurants. Yeah. He was around the 1920s, he was living in San Diego, California. He had restaurants both in the States and in Mexico, so he could avoid prohibition, during the time of prohibition.
What a sneaky guy.
And, he invented, and certainly is at least named after, the Caesar salad. This is one of those food items where the exact origin and circumstances have probably been romanticized. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of the official company story that his daughter tells is, you know, it was the 4th of July, 1924, and they were overwhelmed. It was a rush of customers.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, my father had to put together a salad with whatever ingredients were on hand.
Yeah. You hear this about a lot of things.
You
right?
do hear this about a lot of things.
That I believe it, though.
Mother is the...
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, mother is the necessity of...
right.
Yeah. Necessity of salad mothers.
Yeah.
All right. Good job, guys.
There weren't any what's.
Yeah, well, that was my way of kind of just throwing
it out. Oh, my God. There were no what's at all in that quiz.
Because I know you like to do the frequency analysis.
That's part of the game. That is part this is, of
well,
the game.
Well, the game just changed.
Just the elevated.
The game just changed.
Yeah.
Okay. I, like many of you, traveled home for the holidays and just got back to the San Francisco area, and I rode on an aeroplane to get here. And while I was on this, it's amazing how plane travel has changed so much since I started flying, like 10, 11, 12 years ago. Like,
yeah.
You know, I get on the plane, I got satellite TV, I got internet. It is totally sweet.
Before,
and so,
I used to just have my Game Boy and the batteries would run out and that's it.
That's it. And then it's like, oh, well, I read the whole in-flight magazine, so I guess I'll just sit here and...
Time for a SkyMall the second
and
time.
And I'll be alone with my thoughts, and I'm 13, so I don't think of that much. Uh-huh. That happened to me too. But I wrote a quiz on the airplane using the majestic in-flight internet.
Oh,
and
nice.
I started thinking about...
Oh, like writing on your electronic...
on my laptop, on the plane,
not
wrote
like
a quiz.
On the vomit bag with a pen.
Not on the vomit bag with a pen. I actually wrote a quiz on the plane. And I started like, what topic should I write about? And I decided, apropos of absolutely nothing, to write a quiz about air travel.
Okay.
Didn't take me long to come up with the idea. And here is just a bunch of random questions that I thought of. The Australian airline Qantas. Mm-hmm. What does the Q stand for?
I know it's
Was it Qantas?
No.
I think Qantas. It's Qantas.
Qantas. Okay.
Even though there's no U?
I believe it's Queensland.
It stands for Queensland. Yes. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Because I think the whole name is Queensland and Northern Territory.
Airline.
Something
service?
Like that.
Service? Something like that. Yeah. It's definitely Queensland and Northern Territory, and then I forget the rest. What airline was formed when William Boeing merged his company with Pratt & Whitney? Karen.
Pratt and Whitney. Oh, no. TWA? I don't know.
No. William Boeing merged his company. You might say that he formed a union with Pratt and Whitney. Colin?
United Airlines.
Womp womp. Okay. They used to say about air travel that you should always ask for the kosher meal. This was because it was probably prepared separately or was probably fresher.
I've heard that.
This airline, established in 1948, only serves kosher meals.
Oh.
Colin.
What is El Al?
What is El Al? Yeah. Yes. Bonus points. What does El Al mean?
Yeah, we had this.
Oh, it means to heaven or to the sky.
It means to the sky.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To heaven. Yeah, maybe not. We'll send you
yeah,
to heaven.
May
can
have
I
so
just
much.
Carry
yeah.
Yourself?
One way or the other.
To the skies.
Yes, to the skies.
Yeah.
Not that far. This short-lived, low-cost airline operated by Delta in the early 2000s was marketed mainly towards women.
What?
I did fly this once, I think. Colin.
Was this
Lilith Air?
Lilith Air?
Like Bob or something like that?
Hold on,
or...
I just want to pause for a second.
Lilith Air.
That's pretty funny.
It's
pretty
like good. Lilith Fair.
Oh,
Lilith
I didn't
Air.
Even think of that.
Lilith Air.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's fun. Okay.
No.
I
was thinking of Ted, but that was United. I don't know.
Her.
Her airline. It was Song.
Oh,
Song Airlines. Huh. They shut that down.
Well, what made it women friendly?
They were marketing it toward, it was supposed to be this like airline flown by like professional women. I mean, you know, it wasn't just only women, but they were trying to like, you know, it had like, you know, sort of like or pastel or sort of natural kind of colors in the logo and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the you know, the music on air, you know, the radio and the seats and all that kind of stuff. Hmm. The $10 million Getaway and The Big Heist are films about a multi-million dollar cash robbery that really took place of what airline?
Oh, really? They're movies?
Was this the Lufthansa?
This is the Lufthansa heist.
Okay.
Also immortalized in the movie Goodfellas, but had other films made about it as well. At the time, it was the biggest cash robbery committed on American soil. They broke into the Lufthansa, the vault, essentially, where things were being held and made away with about $5 million.
And all the legroom on the plane.
And then everyone died, as you know, if you watch Goodfella. Who said this? If you want to be a millionaire, start with $1 billion and launch a new airline. Karen?
Sir?
Richard
Branson?
Yes. Sir Richard Branson, founder of Virgin Airlines, Virgin Atlantic, and yes. Virgin America.
And now Virgin Galactic.
And now Virgin Galactic. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to get these. This is a you either know it or you don't. But these are hilarious. Early in 2013, after a passenger on Iceland Airlines downed an entire bottle of alcohol from the duty-free store and started being belligerent and assaulting other passengers, the other passengers on the flight did what to him? Dana.
Duct tape him to a chair?
They duct taped him and used zip ties also to restrain him in his seat.
Perfect.
Good old Icelandic ingenuity. Yeah. Also,
I like how the staff is like, sure,
let's do that. Yeah. It's time.
I'll do it.
Yeah. There's nowhere to go. We have nowhere to go.
And finally, an American Airlines flight in May 2013 going from Los Angeles to New York City was forced to make an emergency landing after a female passenger refused to stop singing what?
Oh, man.
Wow.
What was she singing?
I vaguely remember this story. Too. I vaguely remember this.
What year was this?
This past year.
It was like she was listening. Like, oh my God, I read this story.
She refused to stop singing Whitney Houston songs, apparently at the top of her voice. I think there's a video of her getting hauled off the plane after its emergency landing. Oh,
still singing it.
Still singing, belting out "I Will Always Love You."
Why?
Just needs a lot of
piece
attention.
Of work.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Have you guys ever been in a flight that has had to make like an emergency landing or got diverted and had to go somewhere else?
No, I actually haven't.
I had to go somewhere else.
Because of weather. Yeah. But only because of weather.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
I had, once I was flying into Tokyo and had to go to a different airport because of weather, but then the airport that it landed in wasn't an international airport, so we couldn't get off the plane because there was no customs, there was no immigration, so we had to wait until the weather got better and then take off again.
Fly again.
Yep.
I have a crazy story. We were on a family vacation to Paris. So from New York to Paris, we were in coach class with a class of young French high schoolers who just went to America for vacation or maybe a school trip or something.
Yeah.
But we were seated, like me and my parents seated, in different seats in between all these French teenagers.
Yeah.
A girl fell asleep and one of her friends... He drew, like, penises and random stuff on her face.
No.
She's sitting next to, like, my mom. My mom was in between these two kids. The girl with all the stuff on her face wakes up and then got really angry at her friend.
Yeah.
And decided to punch him. He moved and she ended up punching my mom.
Oh, what?
No.
In the face?
No.
In the face.
Oh my God.
So I went to go complain.
Yeah.
Not complain, but I was like, do you guys have like a bag of ice for my mom's face? Because she just got punched by some teenager.
Yeah.
The whole crew got up in our business in a good way and was like, are you okay? Asking my mom if, you know, what happened. And
right.
Of course, like, the kids felt really bad. Yeah. Now it's like, they asked us if we need to make an emergency landing for this to get her to a hospital.
Right.
Obviously, we didn't need to, but they asked us if we needed to.
Right.
Then,
well, they're sensing like impending potential customer relations disaster.
It's like, oh, do they have any seats like, in first class?
They've been serving
and
all of this.
We got moved to first class.
Hey, all right.
The remainder of the flight.
I feel that if you get punched in the face by a drunk teenager, you deserve getting moved to first class. Yeah.
I don't mind getting punched in the face if I get to move on to first class for a huge flight.
Wait, so if you guys are ever on a flight with Karen, you guys now know.
Yeah. Well, right in the kisser.
Just
to the moon.
Right up. Just
skyward.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you could just buy a first class ticket and then punch her in the face and get rid of the ticket.
Kabam, here's your ticket.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. All right. And that is our show. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you had fun. Hope you enjoyed all of the crazy stuff we did.
Yes, I hope you guys enjoyed the foul taste in my mouth.
Never again. You can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, goodjobbrain.com. And thanks to our sponsor, lynda.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.